What did you make of the President of the United States calling you a white supremacist?
Mr. President, if I could say one thing to you, I would urge you to go back and watch the trial and understand the facts before you make a statement.
That's not a small thing to be called that.
No, it's actual malice, defaming my character for him to say something like that.
Well, he's right. That's Kyle Rittenhouse, the interview yesterday that took place with Tucker Carlson. I thought it was a pretty good interview. I watched the whole thing. I was curious, there were a couple of things that I wanted to see, and I thought it was a pretty good interview. Welcome to the show. It's Tuesday. DanaLash.com. It's good to be with you, as always. And I just saw that they're actually doing a reboot, by the way, a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Remind me to come back to that because I'm so done. I'm done with the reboot. I thought the interview was really good yesterday as it relates to Rittenhouse. I thought it was good. And he was instructed well, and he seemed calm. He seemed calmer and more reasoned than all of his haters, which I thought was funny. He was just way more reasoned than all of his haters were. He was reasoned, calm. His answers were thoughtful. There were a couple of things that I thought were interesting. The first thing was the Lynn Wood. And I have a couple of things on this as well. The whole Lynn Wood situation. Because Lynn Wood, I didn't realize Rittenhouse was in jail. Well, I knew he was in jail for a while, but it was 87 days, in fact, that he was in jail. That's pretty crazy. He was in jail for 87 days, and his fight isn't over yet. There's a new legal battle that is going to be taking place, and this has to do with his bail money. And, of course, this gets into what I was telling you with Lynn Wood. What did you have, that Fight Back Foundation? This was an organization that was founded by Lynn Wood. I am not a Lynn Wood fan, nor have I ever been. And my friend Julio Rosas was saying, if you are surprised that Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty, then you need better news sources. I think if anybody thought Lynn Wood was a good guy, you need better news sources. And look, I don't like the tribalism. I've never been a fan of Lynn Wood. I've known of him for a long time because we've had affiliates in Atlanta. So I know who he is. I know all the Richard Jewell stuff. I know that. I think he lives on that legend and still tries to use that as, you know, his. It's always, what have you done for me lately? Not what have you done? And I think that, I don't know if he's always been like this, but I know he's been like this for a long time. He's a grifter. I'm not a fan of him. And Rittenhouse, he like came to Rittenhouse's rescue, and now Rittenhouse has to, I mean, he was basically making money off of him while Rittenhouse was in jail for 87 days. And you know, if he was his attorney and he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, he would have gotten him out of there. It's just kind of crazy the way that all of that happened. Excuse me, dealing with some allergies today. And he talked a little bit about that as well. Audio soundbite 3. Listen to this. This is where he slammed Lynn Wood. This was a very interesting aspect of the interview from last night.
How long were you there?
I was in jail for 87 days, and this follows in with Lynn Wood, who Lynn Wood was raising money on my behalf, and he held me in jail for 87 days, disrespected my wishes, put me on media interviews, which I should never have done, which he said, oh, you're going to go talk to the Washington Post, which was not a good idea, along with John Pierce. They said I was safer in jail instead of at home with my family. And then after I'm bailed.
Your lawyer said that.
My lawyer said that. John Pierce and Lynn Wood.
87 days is a long time to be in jail.
It was very long. I lost a lot of weight in there. I since then gained it back.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. But 87 days of not being with my family for defending myself and being taken advantage to, being used for a cause by these by John Pierce and Lynn Wood, trying to raise money so they can take it for their own benefit, not trying to set me free.
Yeah, true story. I'm not a Lynn Wood fan. I haven't been for a long time. And I didn't like him when he was down there in Georgia telling everybody not to vote, because ultimately that's what caused that special election. people not going out to vote. That's what happened to the special election. You had a lower voter turnout than you did in 2016. And the lower voter turnout came from the most conservative districts that Trump would have won easily. And you had Lynn Wood out there telling everybody not to vote. I'm not going to put on my tinfoil hat, but I'm just going to say, if I was an undercover longtime Democrat operative, that's exactly what I would do. I don't like him. And I don't give a rat's backside if he, what anybody's opinion is of it. I just don't like him. And here's the thing. There's another, the Fight Back Foundation, that's the thing that Wood started. They filed a motion right after the verdict. That bail money, that $2 million in bail, they want that money. These grifting SOBs, they're wanting that money. Now, the that money was posted by Rittenhouse's, that was posted by John Pierce, and it included mostly contributions that Wendy Rittenhouse collected. And Lynn Wood wants it. I mean, it's just crazy. All of the money was raised on behalf of Kyle. And Lynn Wood says that he's entitled to it. And in fact, the majority of the money came from Wendy Rittenhouse and the money she raised. And so now Lynn Wood's going to drag Kyle Rittenhouse to court, more than likely, so that he can get that money. So don't tell me that this guy isn't a scum sucking SOB, because he is. I've never liked him. Somebody pitched him for my show, and I said over my dead body, I'm not going to have that grifting SOB on my show unless he wants me to eat his soul on air. Not going to happen. Not a fan of him. There's some people that I will not have on my show, even though it would be fun for me to flay them. Why would I subject you to that? So this, I thought that this was a very interesting interview. Please, nobody defend Lynn Wood to me. Seriously, don't. It's going to fall on deaf ears. You're going to waste your energy, and you're going to make me mad. Don't. Because I've had a couple of people do that since yesterday. I'm like, why would you do that? Why? Like, are you more interested in Lynn Wood than you are, like, Rittenhouse? Like, what's the deal? Like, where's your loyalty at? Come on. For the love. But I thought it was a very good interview. Here's this. I'm going to play this. Audio soundbite 4. Quick note on this, because the left was trying to make a lot of hay out of this yesterday. Check this out.
I don't know. I think it was opportunists taking advantage of the BLM movement. I agree with the BLM movement. I agree everybody has the right to protest and assemble, but I do not agree that people have the right to burn down. I don't appreciate that people are burning down American cities to try to spread their message. I think there's other ways to go around and do that.
Mm. Now, people were saying, oh, the right is going to get so triggered. He says that he's out there for BLM. Well, you guys were the ones who were saying that he's a white supremacist. So how's that going for you? He says now I think he's wrong. He says he supports the BLM movement. That means he supports the belief that there's systemic racism. That has nothing to do with his right of self-defense. Don't let that distract you. That's what people want to do. I just think it's funny because he just obliterated their white supremacy narrative. But at the same time, which I think was intentional and I think it was very clever. But, you know, at the same time, what does that have to do with his right of self-defense? Are you telling me that I can't support someone's right of self-defense if I think they're wrong on a different issue? Because it's stupid logic. That's logic that drives cousins to get with cousins, right? That's why that issue exists. That's the kind of logic that goes down that road. No, it's completely, completely separate from his right of self-defense. You know, here's the thing. The left doesn't understand. The right believes in the right of self-defense regardless. You don't have to pay the penance of agreeing with us to be able to exercise your constitutional right. Whereas to the left, you do. Interesting. Now, also today, one of the things we're looking at is this insane Biden move on energy reserves. He's releasing our emergency reserves, our strategic reserves, instead of allowing just increased domestic drilling. So he tweeted this morning. This is what all the news articles are about. He said, today, I'm announcing action to lower the cost of gas and oil for American families. The Department of Energy will make available releases of 50 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower gas and oil prices for America. Now, what's interesting about this is first off, why are you releasing our strategic reserves when all you would have to do is simply allow for more domestic drilling. Why? I mean, that would be very easy to do. Now, here's the thing. We're releasing these in concert with China, Japan, India, and South Korea. And apparently we're selling 18 million barrels of these. But it's kind of a joke because this barrel release only is like, what, 3 days of consumption, U.S. consumption. That's all it is. This is only 3 days of consumption. Now, our strategic oil reserves, these are emergency reserves. This is what we would use in case of war or something, you know, disastrous happening. I think it's interesting that we're doing this in coordination with China because OPEC ignored calls for more crude. Remember this. I mean, we were outpacing OPEC. We were outpacing them in terms of production. And then Biden gets into the White House and decides, you know what? We're just going to ruin all of this. This is our strategic petroleum reserve. This is to aid us if there's an emergency. And the entire situation that we're dealing with now is precisely because of an administration that restricted our domestic production. And now remember, this is a fuel situation around the world. There are a lot of people who don't understand what the hell Keystone XL does. They go, well, all they know is that Keystone XL, that doesn't go to the U.S., but they can't tell you its relation to rising gas prices and fuel prices elsewhere. Keystone XL is about getting Canadian crude, sand oil, tar sands oil, getting Canadian oil out to port, and that goes for sale. And because Biden kneecapped them, they have to do it in a more expensive fashion with rail, using more fossil fuels. Now, Biden does all this, kneecaps our production, takes us beneath OPEC again, and then he begs OPEC to release more barrels per day. They respond by saying no and then increasing prices per barrel. So now we have to go into our reserves. Instead of actually empowering our domestic production and our extraction methods, by the way, if you want to have a discussion on environmental friendliness, our extraction methods are incomparable when you look at the production of every other country. And we've done that without any kind of international demand. We've done that because we understand that responsible extraction techniques not only prolongs the ability to continue extracting a plentiful resource that the planet continuously, by the way, makes. I think people don't understand basic geology 101, but it also it allows that production to continue. You want to preserve your market. You don't want to ruin it with irresponsible extraction. China has no such environmental protections. So we kneecapped ourselves and we put ourselves in this situation. And Biden, instead of doing the most common sense thing, decides to release our emergency reserve. What happens if there's an emergency? We're screwed then. This is idiotic. And it's for 3 days of production. We've got more to come and I'll give you more details on this because it's going to be over the next several months that they're going to be releasing this. As the holidays approach, give back to our deployed service members by shopping Black Rifle Coffee Company. Black Rifle Coffee Company is not your typical coffee company. Developing their explosive roast profiles with the same mission focus learned as military members, Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders. With every purchase you make, they give back. Now, for every coffee purchase you make throughout November, Black Rifle Coffee will send a bag of limited edition holiday roast to a service member currently deployed overseas, delivered by Christmas morning. Founded and operated by veterans, the team at Black Rifle Coffee Company know what a quality cup of coffee means to active duty troops spending the holidays away from home. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV today. The team has spent thousands of hours tasting and perfecting coffee from all over the world to bring you the freshest coffee in America. Use promo code DanaTV for 20% off coffee, apparel, gear, and 20% off your first month of the coffee club. That's blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Well, look at this. Samsung is choosing Taylor, Texas for their $17 billion chip-making factory. Yay, we need some chips. I'm all about this. Samsung, high-fiving Samsung right now. $17 billion. A chip-making plant in Taylor, Texas, making us a little bit more sufficient United States-wise for chips, because remember, that's the thing we're dealing with right now with China. The announcement this week, they said that it's going to have, obviously it's going to make a huge economic impact. Production, though, the chip production isn't expected to start until the end of 2024. Now, Taylor offered incentives that include some property tax breaks and all this stuff. I know people get mad about that, but do you realize the revenue that you're going to get in exchange for that? That's like, here, I'm going to give you a dime now to get $500,000 later. That's how that works. It's like it's giving them a little bit. We have such an economic illiteracy in this country. It sickens me. And it goes full always, not one side or the other, by the way. So that's actually huge. This has been a huge thing to land because the chip production in the United States has been just like, so it's been disappointing and we've had to rely on China. Nobody wants to do that. Get this story. Okay, this is a grandmother, 63 years old, and her granddaughter, 6 years old, were kicked out of a Georgia hotel in the middle of the night because she gave it. Now, this headline seems very misleading. She gave it a 3 out of 5 star review on hotels.com. Susan Legger, they had to walk to their pajamas to a new hotel. They were kicked out of the Baymont Inn in Helen, Georgia. They said they left a bad review after they checked in because it was run down. The toilet didn't work properly. The manager told a 911 dispatcher he wanted her out. He says, I know you didn't like the room and you have reviewed us. And so when reporters asked questions, they refunded her. I just can't believe that police would show up because someone gave you a bad. Is there something else with this? So WXIA had the story and they said that they had to remove her. And by the way, the manager, Danny Vias, he looks totally like a snitch. If you looked up snitch and it was only defined by an image, it would be this guy. Just saying. I don't know if there's another part of the story, but that seems super extreme, right? Yeah. I'm not the only one here. And Jennifer Lawrence, who I'm not a fan of, she says, yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio earns more than her because he brings in more box office. Yeah, that makes sense. Stay with us.
The FBI is carrying out another political hit job. Can we trust it to do honest investigations anymore? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the raid of Project Veritas and James O'Keefe ought to be chilling to every American. I'll also be joined by Iraq war veteran Daniel Gade, who will explain why he believes the VA's disability policy is leaving far too many vets sicker and poorer. Join me. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
But the bottom line is that this president and this administration are looking at every single tool to shield American families from the impact of rising energy prices. And we're working through an energy transition. And we've got to start by adding energy. And the reality is we have to take some time to get off of oil and gas. We recognize this. This is a transition.
A transition for what? That's kind of, yeah, for what though? Here's the thing we have. Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash. We have plentiful amounts of fossil fuels. That's not the issue. There's no problem with this. And what we don't have, I can't stand for when people sit here and they oh, you gotta move to the, if you really wanted to be actually environmentally friendly, then why would you be outsourcing all of your stuff to China? Doesn't make any sense. Look at me. I don't care if you have an electric car. I have a friend who got an electric car. It's a Tesla. And they said, I don't really care. I don't care about the environment. This is why we're friends. Shut up. I have a friend who's also a conservative who's like a big environmental booster. I'm a conservationist. There's a difference between that and environmentalist. I just cannot stand being lectured to the point where I will mock you. And my friend's like, I don't really care about the environment. I'm like, that's why we're friends. They said they got an electric vehicle just because it was neat. I don't care if you do it. I don't care. I don't care about your choice of car. Whatever floats your boat, right? We all float down here. Whatever floats your boat. But don't be like, I'm better than you because look at my virtue signaling about the environment. How many kids had to die digging for cobalt to make your car? Wow. Yay. You love the environment. It's so great. It's just not, I felt like I just,
and where do we still get the bulk of our electricity?
You mean the coal-powered plants?
Yeah.
Cane. Yeah, they're not environmentally friendly. China, do you think China cares about the environment? China just beat a corgi to death with a tire iron. Do you think that they care about the environment? Don't Google that. It's a true story. Hands to sky. I accidentally saw it. And it took everything I had to not buy a one-way ticket and just John Wick all of China. It took everything I had. I promise you. That was just so depressing. But do you think China cares about environmentally friendly? No, they don't. Have you ever Googled what some of these cobalt mines and all of this, what they look like, what they do to the environment? You want to have a discussion about irresponsible extraction methods? There you have it. They're not environmentally friendly. I love having options. I'm a consumer. Woo me. I'm all about having options. Options are fantastic. But don't sit here and force me to do something and try to gaslight me into thinking that my options are limited when they're not. I mean, they're not. Gas-powered cars are more environmentally clean than EVs. We can have a fist fight about it, but you'll lose. This is true. An electric car actually contributes more carbon dioxide than a gasoline-powered car. There was a great piece back, I think I have this somewhere in my notes. It was back in 2015. It was on investors.com about this. Because it's coal-powered car. Remember, we were saying that all of this comes from, you know, the electricity, it comes from coal-powered plants. But this is the problem is. There was a guy in Canada, this guy who was a civil engineer at University of Toronto, and he was on the CBC, the Canadian's government television. And he was like, yeah, electric cars produce more carbon dioxide than gas-powered cars. And they were trying to shut him up. But that's true. I mean, it's absolutely true. It doesn't make you greener. I mean, if you actually want, he says that it's better to do a conventional hybrid than it is just doing a straight EV. But they're not more environmentally friendly. That's the whole keystone here of Joe Biden's Green New Deal, of his green energy whatever plan. We have got to take taxpayer dollars and subsidize companies that are not stable and financially sustainable on their own because the market doesn't support it. Because the market knows people aren't stupid. I mean, you have the practices. UNICEF said that there's like 40,000 kids working in mines all over, particularly in Democratic Republic of Congo. This is, and I believe, China's Belt and Road Initiative. That was the, you know, the Belt and Road. China has, in fact, China had already made the Democratic Republic of Congo a Belt and Road country, a Belt and Road entity. And that's China's Belt and Road Initiative. That's like when them trying to get basically a toehold everywhere. They tightened this. This was back just October of this year. There was a story about how a number of nations were actually affected on the continent of Africa because China was tightening that Belt and Road Initiative there. They were financing all kinds of projects in Africa, and they had they were in Kenya. They had all kinds of stuff. And Xi Jinping wanted to put billions of dollars. And he was saying, oh, infrastructure and developing nations. But they wanted to do that. That was basically them planting a flag in these different countries so that they could go after their resources. And that's exactly what this was. So in People's Democratic Republic of Congo, you had kids mining cobalt for EV car batteries. There was an undercover piece that was done actually by our own CBS back in March of 2018. And it shows children were mining for cobalt for batteries in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Amnesty International said that Tesla, Samsung, Microsoft, even Apple, because this is one of those rare earth minerals that is used in a lot of these projects, a lot of these products. More than half of the world's supply of cobalt comes from the DRC. 20% of it is mined by hand. That it's a Chinese Belt and Road Initiative country. China makes the majority of the batteries. And where do you think this stuff goes from? Or where do you think it goes to after it's mined? And yet people people think that that this is somehow green. Like this piece in the New York Times, it was so dumb. This was pulling this up. This was a piece back from earlier this month, a couple weeks ago. How the U.S. lost ground to China in the contest for clean energy. Are you kidding me? They said that Americans failed to safeguard decades of diplomatic and financial investments in Congo. That's where the world supply of cobalt is controlled by Chinese companies that are backed by the CCP in Beijing. Do you think that there are worker protections in the Democratic Republic of Congo? I mean, I just was telling you about all the kids dying there from mining, hand mining cobalt. So you tell me. So all these people out there who are preening around, look at me, I'm so much better than you. I'm virtue signaling with my electric vehicle. I don't care if you have an electric vehicle, but don't pretend that you're somehow more environmentally caring than someone else that doesn't have a vehicle that's driven and using a battery with cobalt that was mined by kids' hands in the Democratic Republic of Congo. People have no idea about chain of custody when it comes to materials for the products they use every day, and that blows my mind. I mean, we've turned into a very entitled, bratty, snotty species. I mean, we already had our issues, you know, before. I mean, we're humans after all. I mean, we're already pretty, you know, pretty wretched. But it's just bizarre. It's just bizarre. But this is the reality of the situation. And you have all of these nations in Africa, but particularly Democratic Republic of Congo. The Chinese, you know, they control this. By the way, you want to hear something fun about this? Guess who helped China get control over one of the vast cobalt mines in Africa? If I were to give you a guess, what would you guess? We're getting ready to tie something in a really great segue. So I'm just getting this prepared. This is going to be a beautiful segue here. Beautiful. Can't just guess. Whose firm helped China get control over vast cobalt mines in Africa? It was a huge deal in 2016, and it granted a Beijing-backed firm to have total control over a mineral required for the creation of EV batteries. The New York Times reported on it, and it was a company that began in 2013.
So you said China in 2013?
It began in 2013.
Does that have to do with the Bidens, by any chance?
You're getting warm.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't tell me it's Hunter.
Oh, ding, 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 ding.
Are you serious?
Yes, you would be correct. Hunter Biden's firm was involved in the 2016 deal that granted a Chinese firm to have control over a mineral required for the creation of electric car batteries. It was a report cited by the New York Times. In 2013, Hunter Biden started the company named Bohai Harvest RST, Equity Investment Fund Management Company, along with two other Americans and a few Chinese CCP-related associates. American members own 30% of the Shanghai-based firm and joined as a board on the board of directors. And yes, absolutely, Biden's firm signed a $2.6 billion transaction to transfer a Congo's cobalt as well as a copper mine from the American-based mining company Freeport-McMoRan to a Chinese company, which I can't even pronounce the last name. And so they acted as a minority shareholder. Yes, absolutely. Look at Kane's face. This is what I was reading all yesterday evening.
Good God.
Yep. So now you understand why it's protect Hunter Biden at all costs. Now you do understand that, don't you?
This is conflict of interest stuff here.
You think? Do you think it's do you think it is?
Yeah, when the government led by Biden is forcing off of oil and gas.
Now, his dad was VP when this was happening. I will let you know. So his dad was VP.
Which doesn't make it any better. Mm-hmm. It actually makes it worse.
I know. That's what I was saying. That's so I put it out there.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Where is our watchdog media instead of lapdog media? I would like the watchdog media back.
Guys, they're too busy talking about January 6th. That's what it is. The riot where a guy who literally lives in his mom's basement. Like, normally I say that as like a joke for trolls, but he actually does live in his mom. He's the guy who's the Buffalo LARPer. I didn't want to insult Bob Marley, but I really so badly wanted to play Buffalo Soldier every time I had a January 6th segment topic and start that segment. So yeah, this is a huge thing. Now keep this in mind. This is all about Joe Biden's Green Deal. Everybody needs to get they want to get rid of oil and gas. They want to get rid of gas guzzling vehicles. They said they want to get everyone driving electric vehicles. And by the way, this is the story that ran 3 days ago. There was a recap of this. This is the second time that the New York Times has reported on this, how Hunter Biden's firm helped secure cobalt for the Chinese. Oh, yeah, I'll put all this in an email that I'm going to send out to you tonight. We got a lot more in store, I'm telling you. This is crazy stuff. We got to talk about Nancy Pelosi's Jupiter, Florida mansion. She just got a big old fat mansion. I know, right? Big old fatty fat mansion. We're going to talk about that. $25 million. $25 million mansion. Insane.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. This Thanksgiving Eve, right? Yeah. Eve?
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. I got my fixins. I'm like ready to rock. I just got to get my pies done. I got to start my pies tomorrow. That's my big thing. Welcome back to the program this Tuesday. We've been covering a number of things. One of the, I got to do a little detour. I don't watch a lot of television because I don't like it. I think most everything is awful. This is one of the reasons why I think that the people who probably would, if they were to ever look at what my streaming queue is, would think I'm insane. And I had a friend who was asking me about what shows I watch. And I had said, well, really the only show that I actually would watch, that I watch, is Yellowstone. Because I find a certain kinship with Beth Dutton. But I think Yellowstone's the only thing. Someone's like, should I watch Yellowstone? I'm like, why would you not watch it? And it's everything that I love that other people hate. And they apparently do a lot of this in Utah. They were filming in Fort Worth too. But I was thinking about this. One of my friends had posted today, try to do something to screw up an algorithm. It's my friend Dave Bird. He said, more specifically, when it comes to social media, the algorithm, the one that desires you to be predictable and classifiable into one of 20 to 30 attitudinal phenotypes and rewards you for conforming to them. He writes, say you choose a horror movie on Amazon Prime. Now you get other horror movies that pop up into your movies we think you'll like. Why? Because people who like horror movies tend to like other horror movies. You choose another horror movie and the algorithm is pleased. It's pleased because you validated it through your lack of prediction error and rewards you with more intensive horror movie suggestions. Keep repeating and soon you get a predictability gold star from the algorithm as non-horror movies disappear from your recs. And by doing so, you've strengthened the algorithm's observation that people who like horror movies like other horror movies, so that other people who watch any other horror movie will now get recommendations even more concentrated on horror movies. And he says, the algorithm, he says, instead of saying after watching that horror flick, you ignore the algorithm and choose a 1930s musical. The algorithm is displeased because you are an outlier and it doesn't know WTF to do with you other than recommend musicals along with horrors and hope for the best. Now, after the musical, screw with it further by selecting a Marvel movie and then a documentary about James Baldwin and then a raunchy 80s teen comedy. The algorithm is confused and frightened because it doesn't understand variety seeking and unpredictability. What that algorithm desires above all is that you and it work together to sort you into a reasonably large-sized box from which the entire scope of your attitude, opinions, and behaviors can be inferred from a small set of data, because that is computationally efficient. So this is probably why none of my streaming queues know what to do with me, because it's anime, K-drama, historical documentary, baking shows, and aliens. It's pretty much, and then Yellowstone. I watch Yellowstone. So it's like, you must like all Westerns, but I've seen almost all the Westerns. There's not a Western I haven't seen. And so and I like horror films. I like zombie films. It has no idea what to show me. I think it's short circuits. I had to go on a whole other account because my husband's like, I can't have all these K-dramas. Every time you watch a K-drama, I can't have this come up on my recs. This is bad. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Extreme weather has cost our economy over $600 billion over the last 10 years. We have to make sure our financial system can withstand climate change and is prepared to transition to clean energy. The Fed must be a leader among central banks globally in addressing climate-related financial risks.
Oh, boy. We're going to create something that doesn't have a scientific consensus. And even though it does not have a scientific consensus, and even though weather is cyclical, and these periods are cyclical, and in my weekly reader, when I was in elementary school, they were telling us about global cooling, we're going to use this as a way to fearmonger everyone further into Marxism. Welcome back to the show. That's what all this is about. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you. Sign up for Chapter and Verse. I have a piece coming out titled Revisiting How the Bidens Made Communist China the Biggest Benefactor of Their Green New Deal. And then I have some prep stuff for you as well. So you'll get some of these pieces out. But yes, the whole thing is that I thought we followed science and fact. We are not following science, and we are trying to shift the number one economy in the world based on something that is not established fact. That to me sounds like shenanigans.
Yes, it is.
It's some shenanigans here. And it's the same kind of shenanigans I hear when they say that, oh, well, inflation, yes. You know, we get some inflation stuff to worry about. I was looking at the cost of like turkey and stuff. Let me pull up some of the stuff I have. I was looking at the cost of turkeys and a few other things that they said it's the most expensive Thanksgiving dinner ever. I think in the history of our country, that's what they're saying.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Making people desperate. You know, like the people doing the smash and grab in the Bay Area, they're just out there for bread. Isn't that what AOC said? We're going to get back to some of the inflation and that, but I want to shift into these headlines I keep seeing about Bay Area. ABC 7 says experts caution use of looting in describing rash of Bay Area smash and grabs. Why? Because it would hurt someone's feelings? What do you call it when people bust up into a storefront and enter and then steal everything in it and run away? What is that called? What is another phrase to describe it besides theft?
You mean smash and grab?
Yeah. Looting, maybe?
Yeah.
But they say, no, you can't call it looting. Yeah. Race and social justice reporter. Imagine being a guy named Julian Glover, and you're a reporter for ABC 7, and you're beat, because apparently you can't get any other beat. Your beat is race and social justice. Right? That's your beat. That's like being assigned to bring the plates and cups to the Thanksgiving meal because people know you can't cook. That's what this is. So this guy's out there. He's like, this is actually a sentence in this piece. Race and social justice reporter Julian Glover is here to give us some context of looting. Julian says as the Bay Area grapples with a wave of seemingly organized smash and grab robberies this weekend, policing and journalism analysts. Policing and journalism analysts? Did you just make this up? How about some people say? Because these are not analysts. Shut up. Policing and journalism analysts are cautioning against the use of the term looting. The Louis Vuitton store was burglarized and looted. The Burberry in Westfield was burglarized and looted, said San Francisco Police Chief Bill Scott in a press conference to reporters on Saturday. Chief Scott was detailing his department's response to a wave of potentially organized retail thefts and burglaries, netting $1 million in stolen luxury goods. And they say that that you can't describe it as looting. I can't believe this is a story. They say, according to the California Penal Code, what we saw was not looting because there wasn't an evacuation order in place. Well, there wasn't an evacuation order in place either in Minneapolis or Kenosha or anywhere else where there was looting, you moron. See, it's not looting if there's no emergency order in place. But if there's an emergency order in place, then it's looting. If there is no emergency order in place, the correct phrase is mass borrowing without return.
I didn't realize verbs changed definition when there wasn't an actual emergency.
Really? I know, right?
Weird.
Wow. They did a whole story on, to some, the distinction may be small, but this article's stupid. And then they went and talked to this some dude that nobody cares about. And he, just a chair, to do confirmation bias to this dude. Oh, well, if it's not looting, then okay. So if they come and smash and grab in your house, technically, I mean, there's no emergency order in place, so it's, guess it's okay. Yeah? Checks notes. Oh, there's no emergency order in place, so go ahead. This is what happens, by the way, when you stop, because they don't actually prosecute a lot of, like, petty theft anymore. Look at that. I'm amazed at this. There's so many examples. They've had a number of in this area, a number in of stores in the San Francisco, in the Bay Area, where people are just like, I mean, I can't even remember all the stores. They went into a Lululemon. Okay, full stop here. Okay, we got to have a conversation. The hell are you looting a Lululemon? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Why are you busting into when there's not an emergency or evac order and taking a lot of things from said Lululemon? I'm curious. I mean, why? Curious. What do you need at a Lululemon? I needed to steal leggings. You needed to steal made in China leggings? Really? That they price them to be as expensive as if they were produced in the United States, but they're made in China, so they're just like price gouging you for leggings. They sell men's clothes at Lululemon. I did not know this until recently. Did you know that?
I just now found out from you.
You're right now years old?
Yep.
Steve, you're a millennial. Let me ask you a question. Do you wear Lululemon men's clothes?
I don't own any, but I know men that do, my age.
Like, what do they wear from there, the men?
Like workout stuff. They used to have men's workout stuff, but I don't know why people would go out of their way to get Lululemon. At least for men.
Do they actually work out?
Yeah. Also, I live in a different part of the country than you, just prefacing. So that's like
I don't think that is a sufficient excuse. Steve lives, he basically lives right by Virginia. He's in D.C., but my gosh, you're surrounded by, you know, mountains and rural areas. I don't think it counts. I'm floored. I did not. Wait, hang on. I'm gonna do something. Lululemon. I didn't even know actually how to pronounce their name until like a year ago. I can't. They legit have a men's section, and I don't understand this. It looks like all their clothes are made from neoprene. And then why is there, look, a bum bag or a belt bag, which is the new phrase for a fanny pack. I don't actually hate a fanny pack if it's worn tastefully and it doesn't look stupid, but not for men. If you're wearing a fanny pack, you better have a gun in it. I don't. Otherwise, actually, that's stupid. If you're not carrying it on your person and you're a dude, get out. I don't. Why? Why? What do you have to carry, male, that you need a belt bag? I don't get it. Are you working out? Are those your gloves? If you're working out, you just want like something to throw over your shoulder and you actually don't want to wear it in the old stereotypical 80s way, then okay, fine. It's just a problem I have. Why does everything they have, they look like it's made of neoprene? They got a pair of workout shorts for $88. You can go to Walmart and get you a pair of nice workout shorts that are like $12. You don't need to buy a pair of $88. If I saw somebody in Lululemon shorts, a dude at the gym in Lululemon, I think I'd probably make fun of him. I'm not lying. I'm sorry if this is you, but I don't know if I could help myself. I don't think I could stop, Kane. I don't think I could quit.
I don't blame you.
I'm just saying.
It's not any different.
Who the hell loots a Lululemon?
It's not any different to sweating $88 shorts or $12 shorts.
It's like looting a naturalizer store, isn't it? Like, who's getting in that store? Like, retirees busting up to get them some comfortable shoes? Like, who the hell is looting a Lululemon? I expect to look out there and see a bunch of suburban women with Starbucks. Like, who the hell is looting a Lululemon? It's amazing to me. I don't know, man. Just wild. This stuff is wild. So everybody's been talking about increase in price for everything. Turkey, all kinds of stuff. I saw this. Shopping for a Christmas tree is actually going to be 10 to 30% more because of supply chain issues and a lack of truck drivers for live trees, is the report. Y'all are going to be getting them Charlie Brown trees. That's what y'all are going to be getting. Y'all going to be getting them little bitty skinny trees that you can't even put an ornament on it because it's going to lean over. I don't do a live tree. I don't do a live tree because I just find it wasteful. I've always found it wasteful. I don't know. I mean, my mom goes a little bit overboard. She gets a fake tree. And then have you seen those green things that you stick in there? It's supposed to smell like a live tree. Right. It really doesn't. But she insists it does. And I'm like, yeah, it does, because I don't want to hurt her feelings. But have you seen those things? Yeah. It's like, here's your fake tree. Here's the scent thing you can stick in it to make it smell like a live tree. I've never wanted them because they're fire hazards. And I get weird about that stuff. And also because I find it just wasteful. I'm like, I'm just putting it in my home. I'm basically wasting a tree on a pagan ritual that we co-opted and appropriated for Jesus. I mean, they didn't have a tree there's no tree in the nativity. So I don't know. I'm just saying. You're laughing over there. Do you do real or fake?
I've done real in the past, but the problem is all the needles on the floor if you're putting it on carpet. Like if you have it on tile or on hardwood, it's not as bad. But then afterwards, I cut it up for firewood.
That's smart. That's smart. Good for you. Look at you making use of it. I don't know. I've never ever gone and sawed down my own tree. The first time I was in my own house, I'm like, yep, nope, we're going to go get a fake one. Just doing that. Just going to keep it all year long. There you go. Not up.
Also, I don't buy the supply chain issue because every live tree I've ever purchased has been from a local farm. So just shop locally.
I know. What's the issue with nature?
Right.
Nature's the supplier.
They
here.
Literally have acres of these things growing every year.
Yeah, I don't buy that either. It's going to cut into your budget. I don't know. And somebody said they paid $100 last year for a live one. You realize you could get a really fancy fake tree and then like two Christmases, it's already served its part. You know what I mean? Like you've already made your saving money. I'm just saying. I don't know. I like them, but I just kind of find it wasteful in a way. I don't know. I'm not judging. I kind of find it wasteful. I'm just saying. But that's even going to be expensive. So your tree's more expensive. Everything's more expensive. Thanks, Bidenflation. But hey, at least Hunter got money from having kids mine cobalt for their EVs, right? There you go. We have a lot more in store, including, I'm amazed at the story. So the DA, right? And this is in Waukesha, where the guy ran through all these people, the criminal. And this was 2 days after, wasn't it 2 days after he ran over the mother of one of his kids? His ex-girlfriend just like plowed into her, ran her over. He apparently is like, he is the worst, worse than a woman driver. He's awful. This guy, I mean, death penalty, I'm all for it. But this is what gets me. The DA was like, yes, he shouldn't have been out. That's so bad that he was out. And then the DA is like, well, I'm going to investigate into seeing why his bond was so low. And I immediately thought of that Spider-Man gif where the Spider-Man points, the two Spider-Man dudes point at each other. I know it's from, I don't know.
It me.
Because he literally, that was his policy. So now he's going to investigate himself.
Oh, boy.
You believe this? We got to talk about this coming up so you don't want to miss. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Biden filed an emergency lawsuit today seeking to immediately reinstate his vaccine mandate for private employers with 100 or more workers after the rule faced a series of legal setbacks. Earlier this month, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals issued a preliminary pause on the order, which prevented OSHA from actually moving forward and implementing it. The Justice Department argued, according to Wall Street Journal, that the rules reflect OSHA's judgment that these measures are necessary to mitigate the COVID transmission in the workplace, etc. But the arguments against it, they say that all cases were, well, it's going back to court. Long story short, it's going back to court. OSHA paused implementation. They issued a stay on it. There's a lot of questions about this, and it's not going to be resolved anytime soon. Also, Australia has now started transferring their coronavirus positive cases to quarantine camps. So the Australian Army has begun forcibly removing residents in their northern territories to the Howard Springs quarantine camp located in Darwin after nine new cases were identified. The move comes after hard lockdowns in both of these, Binjari and Rockhole, on Saturday evening. Both of these areas, they said they no longer have the five reasons to leave their homes. They're being forced to. This is crazy. This is why we have a Second Amendment. Nancy Pelosi buys a $25 million mansion in Jupiter, Florida. Beautiful Jupiter Island. So $25 million. I thought she really, really hated Ron DeSantis, though. Right? Didn't she? I mean, I thought so. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up.
When you're stuck discussing politics with your friends, who's the most informed person in the group? Yep, you are. You're welcome.
Listen, follow, subscribe.
The Dana Show.
I think a lot of people watching have reached the same conclusion, and they would like to see you help make this better by holding some of these liars to account. Do you plan to do that?
I have really good lawyers who are taking care of that right now. So I'm hoping one day there will be accountability for their actions that they did.
Okay, so you're intent on not, you're not going to let that go.
Like I said, really good lawyers are handling that.
Yeah.
I hope they get bent over a barrel. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. That was Kyle Rittenhouse from that interview yesterday. Yes, because this kid was smeared. I mean, absolutely just smeared. So, I don't. And it was done maliciously so. That's one of the things that they look into is this, this presence of malice. Goodness. That was the Ahmaud Arbery case. The jury's deliberating on that. I watched a lot of that trial, and my opinion immediately after watching the video still hasn't changed. There has been nothing introduced that has altered my opinion in that respect. So we'll watch and see on that situation. You know, the Rittenhouse thing, it was never an issue of race. And it's not an issue of race in our system either. Did we talk about, the Jaleel Stallings case yesterday, correct? Did I talk about that?
I think so.
Okay, so if you guys are unfamiliar with this case, the Jaleel Stallings case, this is a pretty unbelievable case where you had this guy, this was like 2 days, I think, after the riots. I think it was like 2 days after the riots. And he was in Minneapolis. And he was protecting his business from rioters with a firearm, lawful firearm owner, right? Had every right to be protecting his business. I mentioned his name on Fox last night. And he had, what ended up happening, Jaleel Stallings was, this was, you know, right after the Floyd murder. And you had, riots everywhere. Minneapolis police SWAT units were out. And they were supervised by a sergeant named Andrew Battelle. He was directed to enforce the mandated curfew and disperse rioters, looters, and arsonists. Now, there's tons of body camera footage. There is a ton of closed circuit security footage, too. And they said that their purpose was to, they had 40, they had launchers and rounds of rubber bullets, 40 millimeter launchers and rounds of rubber bullets. And they were marked, they were supposed to be marked with an orange barrel, which indicates that it is less lethal. So Patel's group had those launchers that evening. They were driving around looking for people who were violating curfew. And there was all kinds of, they got a lot of video footage. The unit was directed by Battelle to, quote, draw them in and hit them, have the protesters come closer, and then get them with the launchers. They wanted to disperse. So, and you can hear some of the stuff that they were saying, and it does not reflect well upon Battelle's leadership or some of the character of the people who were carrying out these orders. And the situation with Stallings happened after they were dispersing these people. It was after curfew. And I'm fine with going after rioters, people who are engaging in property destruction. But I think you got to be very careful when it comes to peaceful protest. I'm going to tell you what, I back the blue, I back good law enforcement, but I don't back anything over my rights. And if that separates me from you, then I question your commitment to the Constitution. Stallings was made aware of this. He was out. He was armed for his personal protection. He had a CHL. And he was in front of his business on his property, protecting his property, his business from rioters. He was mistaken to be just a looter. And they tried to disperse him. So they shot at him with these rubber bullets. Well, it's important to note, they were in an unmarked van. He thought, oh my gosh, these are rioters or gangbangers or something shooting at me. So Jaleel Stallings returns fire. Fires three or four rounds. About that time, the van stops and door opens and there cops in riot gear get out. And that's when he realized, oh my gosh, these are cops. He immediately put his gun on the ground, laid down. This is all on video. I'm not stating anything that's not known by the public. Puts his gun down on the ground, lays down, hands out on his belly. He does textbook. That's what you do in this situation. Now, he's laying on the ground for about 20, 30 seconds, and you can see one of the other guys in the SWAT riot gear run. They're running at him, and then he does a running kick right in his head. Absolutely inexcusable. They started kicking and punching him in the head as he was laying down on the ground. They beat him for about 30 seconds, apparently broke his hand and a bunch of other stuff. And police lied in the original complaint saying that he ran away from law enforcement. That was not true by the body footage. Now, again, I say this for the people who always criticize me whenever I give legitimate criticism of bad law enforcement. I'm not tribal. And if you're expecting me to be a mindless, red meat, dippy, little YouTube, I'm going to be so politically tribal that I will ignore truth, and you might as go join the left because that's what they do. I have zero tolerance for that crap. Again, I always support good law enforcement, but I don't support anything before my rights. My fealty to my individual liberty is first. The end. And if you like something else, if you like government or anything else before you like your rights, then clearly we're going to disagree. But this was all on film. I've watched it. I followed this case just because I haven't talked about it at length. I've been watching it. And I have been very interested to see how this comes out. It's just, you know, by the book trial. But they beat him and he didn't move. He was laying there on the ground. He did not run from officers. He did not resist. Now, the affidavit said that he ran from law enforcement. That was false. They also claimed that he shot at the van they were in. That was not true either. And there was nothing forensic-wise. The state was unable to prove that. He was very open with exactly what he did and what happened. And when he realized that the unmarked van was actually a law enforcement and they were firing random bullets because they thought he was, which I think, how in the hell is that good policing? Now, here's where I get concerned as a law-abiding gun owner. I have every damn right to stand as a lawful gun owner on my property, protecting my property from rioters without being fired on or dispersed by law enforcement. I have every right. Then. But he was acquitted. They threw the book at this dude, and he was acquitted of all charges. They had a 5-day trial. And I read the witness statements. I have read everything that's been public, and I've watched the videos. This dude, he was totally justified. And I don't know if anybody else would have acted any differently from him. And I was talking about the situation with Andrew Coffey. I mentioned that on Fox last night. I am very much against no-knock raids. And they do happen. And this is one of the big reasons, too. Well, one of many reasons why I'm against red flag laws. Because in some of these states with red flag laws, you have no-knock warrants that's incorporated into the red flag. You don't have to be notified. That's a lot of these ex parte proceedings, meaning the person is not even there and may not even be aware of what's happening against them. Someone can make a false claim. And the standard of proof is incredibly low for this. Like a penalty is given and then due process comes after. That's inexcusable. And that's violating a cornerstone of our republic. I'm completely against no-knock warrants. And I don't give a crap if somebody's suspected dealing drugs or anything else. I disagree with a lot of people on the Breonna Taylor thing. I don't care if she was funneling drugs to a dude or not. There were so many ways to apprehend that and enforce that warrant. And then it goes down to he said, she said, or he said, he said. If it's not on camera, you got to realize, this is why I think body cameras are important too. I'm not for no-knock raids. I'm so against them. And I think that people who are charged for firing in defense of their life, I don't care what it is, in a no-knock raid, I don't think that they can be convicted. Like I said, I love law enforcement. When we moved, we had a conversation with our law enforcement because I think it's when you're in media or you do broadcasting, you know, people get swatted all the time. So we get along great with our local law enforcement. You know, we're supportive. And we told them from the get-go, look, if something goes down and you get what you think is a weird report, you know, you have our numbers, call us and check with us, because don't be doing no-knock stuff. Someone busts up into my house at 2 a.m, I will open fire on you. I don't give a rat's ass who you are. I will open fire on you. And I train incredibly well, and I've done night training, and I've done all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to be probably as successful, if not more than you, and there will be casualties. So don't do that stuff. I'm so against no-knock raids. That's not justice. It's dangerous for police. It's dangerous for everybody. So And here's the thing that I think some people struggle with. I'm consistent on the right of self-defense no matter what the variable is. This is where I go back to, are you actually a committed constitutionalist? Do you believe in your right first and foremost? Or do you think that there are exceptions to that rule? Because if you think that there are exceptions, then if you think that, well, you can't defend yourself if you're standing outside of your property and an unmarked police vehicle opens up fire using non-lethal rounds and you don't know if they're non-lethal or not. You just, you know, are, you know that people are getting shot and people are burning down buildings and you're protecting your building and somebody pulls up in an unmarked vehicle and starts firing at you. Yeah, you're probably going to think that you're under fire. I support that person's right of self-defense. You don't get an extra justification. Just you don't get to not defend yourself just because a government entity is acting outside of their authority and jurisdiction. That's an appeal to authority that is illogical and completely non-applicable in this case. This was about self-defense. And as I said last night, I don't think that this was the only attack on self-defense. I think in every single one of these instances, it can become an attack on self-defense, whether it is done by a corrupt DA or whether it is done by the state. I mean, today, maybe it's, you know, a ridiculous DA saying that a 17, now 18-year-old didn't have any right to justifiably and legally defend his life in face of oncoming threats. They would have killed him. To me, that's no different than arguing against the state busting down someone else's door in a no-knock raid. And then trying to hang you with the crime of firing because you think it's a home invasion. That is a consistent principle. It is inconsistent to have varying positions on those issues. Sometimes, you know, logic isn't all kittens and sunshine, folks. I have more to come, too. We got a lot more to get into as well, because we've been looking at this whole situation with the energy reserves. We're talking about how the Bidens are really going to benefit greatly from all of this with the Green New Deal, et cetera, et cetera. And then I want to get into this situation with the DA as well, investigating themselves in the Waukesha massacre. The guy who drove his vehicle through and murdered five people and a bunch more in the hospital. That's a bail reform issue. That guy should have never been out. He ran over the mother of his child, his ex-girlfriend, ran her over with a vehicle. And then this guy now, he should have never been out. They reduced his bond to nothing. They made it really high this last time. The DA says, oh, well, it was, you know, really low. That's been his whole platform. That's been his legacy. If you're a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about Delta Rescue, and this is an organization that is so incredibly important to me, and right now they need your support more than ever. By being a part of the Delta Mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many animals. Join me today in becoming a member of the Delta Rescue team with your donation. Leo Grillo, the founder of Delta Rescue, is dedicated to giving the animals he rescues the life they deserve. Donate what your heart tells you to today in remembrance of a beloved pet that made you feel the way Leo feels about all of his rescue animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana and press the green donate button. And while you're at deltarescue.org/Dana, request my free estate package for information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well on into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. So show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Boy, oh boy, I have a woke story coming up for you next hour. Whoo, man. All right, so a Florida man was arrested after a sushi flipping rampage. It was, Florida man, he had a sushi-throwing rampage at a hibachi buffet line, according to the arrest affidavit. His name is Paul Mitchell, but he's not the hair care Paul Mitchell. It's not the DeGioia family. He entered the hibachi buffet in Pinellas Park. He was unhappy that the sushi that he wanted was not being served. So he became angry, and he began flipping over plates of sushi that were on the hibachi buffet line. And so then he walked out to the front of the store, battered the store manager who was recording the whole escapade. He was arrested by Pinellas Park Police and charged with simple battery and criminal mischief. Damage was $250. Like, why? Why? And he looks like he just is, he feels like his mugshot's like, yeah, I did it, Ann. Ooh, this is so nasty. Oh, the story. Oh, Florida man spit food into a woman's mouth during a road rage incident. I don't even know how this happens. This is so gross. David Paul Wipperman, 61, was arrested in a Largo incident. A Florida man... Oh, this is so gross. Ah. Ha. Oh, gosh. Look at this. Look at this. It's so nasty. I'm like, oh. He's accused of spitting food into a woman's mouth following a road rage incident. Again, Pinellas County. What in the world, Pinellas? They arrested the 61-year-old on felony battery. So I don't even know how this happens. He got into a road rage incident with a woman, gets out of his truck, goes up to her vehicle. She rolls down her window and apologized. But then at that point, he spit the food he was chewing at her, then opened her door and screamed at her. And it took apparently several weeks to arrest him. That's the nastiest thing I think I've ever heard. She apologized. Like, why? So clearly it wasn't, he just got mad because she probably did something. You know, maybe she cut him off or something. So he gets mad at her and does this. there's a complaint about a guy, according for, so some Uber Eats drivers in St. Petersburg are saying that this landlord who keeps ordering food is naked when we show up and it's gross. Make him stop. Yeah, this is a real actual story. So I can't believe people do this. It's in the Crest building. It's on St. Petersburg. And apparently there were six people who've accused this guy of inappropriate sexual behavior. He's the landlord of this building. And they said that four food delivery drivers said that his name's Boutros, that he was naked when they arrived at the Crest building. And yeah. And they said the delivery drivers, all the complaints began last spring. So it sparked a review by a detective and they got him with three counts of exposing himself and two counts of committing a lewd act, all misdemeanors. So he's under court order to not order delivery, and Grubhub and DoorDash deactivated his accounts. Don't know why Uber Eats hasn't yet. That's nasty. Can't they rate you? Like, this guy's a perv. Like, can't they make a comment like that for other drivers, I don't know. I'm just like wondering. A guy broke out into a dance during a DUI stop after he said he had too many. It's also that. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Do you sometimes find yourself wondering how much control you really have over your finances? Recently, we've seen a complete assault on freedoms and liberties by the government. Mask mandates, vaccine mandates, and now even vaccine passports, all trying to limit whether you can even go to a grocery store or restaurant. And we've seen how quickly the government can infringe on your personal freedoms. So are your personal finances next? This is why I believe in diversifying with gold. Gold is physical, it's tangible, and gold is safe from government control. Gold can give you true control over your wealth, control that's not tied to government-regulated financial markets. And the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide information at legacypminvestments.com. That's Legacy, the letter P, the letter M, investments.com.
Do you think at all that your rhetoric around calling people anti-vaxxers, some of whom were vaccinated, has had an impact at all on vaccine take-up in parts of the territory?
No. Alan, we're a Peter. If you are anti-mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. I don't care what your personal vaccination status is. If you support, champion, give a green light, give comfort to, support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer. Absolutely. Your personal vaccination status is utterly irrelevant.
Doesn't he? He sounds punchable. I'm just saying. You know how some people have punchable faces? Yep. That's the thing. Hi. Well, I'm not. Don't you dare. I'm not advocating for anything. Welcome back to the show. DanaLash.com. DanaLash.com. Good to be with you today. It's Tuesday. We're getting a little weird because it's getting pre-Thanksgiving and I'm already dreaming of a trip to Fancoma. Turkey. You know what we haven't played yet? The Adam Sandler turkey song. That's true. What is wrong with us? What have we done? No, we're going to play it this hour. Don't worry. That was the Northern Territories, Michael Gunner down there in Australia, saying that if you're against the vax mandate, you are anti-vax because there's no difference. I can't do an Australian accent. I can't do it. Can you do it, Kane? I cannot do an Australian accent. I can do so many other accents. I cannot do that, and I can't do a Texas accent.
Yeah, no, I can't do it very well.
And the New Zealand one is like the Australian one, but it's not.
Yeah.
That one's even tougher.
And then have you, like, the South African accent? If you're talking to someone who's from South Africa, so one of my friends when I was in college was from South Africa. And she would be talking totally normal. And then all of a sudden, her words would get real weird. And then it was like certain words were totally weird. Blows the mind. I don't know. I would be listening. And then it just takes you out of where you're like immediately stopping at that moment in the conversation. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't get it. This is, I can't do those accents. Those are the ones I can't do. Anyway, so this guy's like, yes. Put a shrimp on the barbie. If you're against the vax mandate, you're anti-vax. Critical thinking is not this guy's strong suit. Bless his little heart. Michael Gunner. It's such a shame that a really cool last name had to be wasted on such a meatbag, right? Just a stumpy little meatbag. That's who he is. I don't have anything nice to say about him. And if I keep talking about him, we're going to run borderline mean. So, no, that wasn't me, what I just said. That was just honest, because he is. Just FYI. You want to hear some wokery? Yeah, you do. I got to get this off my plate. Because this is crazy. Excuse me. So I have a couple of wokery stories. So here's the first one. This story, trans lobby group Stonewall brands lesbian sexual racists for raising concerns about being pressured into having intercourse with transgender women who still have male genitals. By the way, if you have Frank and Beans, you are a dude.
Science.
Science. You're a dude. If you have a Frank and Beans, you're a dude. Just like if you have a vagina, you're a chick.
Yep.
No, I'm a man, but you have boobs and a vagina, so you are a woman. It's biology. Why is it? How dare you, Kane? How dare you recognize biology? That's racist. Because apparently they actually say that they're sexual racist. Someone explain this phrase. They said it was, they published it on the BBC. They're having this big old brawl over in Britain. And mainly, a lot of it has to do with, and J.K. Rowling's in it because she was like, hey, aren't there men and women? And they all of a sudden hate her, but she has blank you money, so it doesn't matter. And that's all she said. Like, she's a big giant socialist. She probably has a communist, I should say. She probably has Karl Marx tattooed somewhere on her person. I'm just speculating. But, you know, it doesn't matter. She recognized that there were men and women. That cannot stand. So this group, it's a lobbying group called Stonewall. And it shows they were trying to suppress investigations into claims that predatory trans women, a.k.a. men, have been pressuring lesbians who are women into sex. And according to the BBC, and the lobby group was trying to suppress the investigation before it was published. And then they said that debating the issue is the equivalent, to sexual racism. Remember, we talked about this story. This is like a thing, apparently. The investigation that they had, they cited three lesbian women who said that they feared being labeled transphobic and being threatened by the gay and trans community if they refused to take trans women as partners. Did people forget? I don't care whether or not you agree with it or whatever. Chicks who like chicks in that romantical way, they're lesbians. What does a trans female? That's a man. That's a dude. So they're getting, this is such a sexist bunch of garbage. So now they're like, no, you can't even be attracted if you're a lesbian to women. You have to, look, he says he's a woman. You better recognize him as a woman or you're a sexual racist. You're a bigot sexist. Why can't we throw that back at them? These people, the most misogynistic people I've ever met have been trans activists.
Sexual terrorists.
I mean, this is literally the patriarchy.
Also, what race is involved when they're talking about this? Just sexual orientation?
Well, you know what, Kane? They're going to appropriate the female sex. They're just going to appropriate race too. Everything's racist and sexual racist.
Because sexist isn't enough?
That sounds like a bad someone? Barry White song. What?
Because sexist isn't enough to label someone?
They feel like that's not enough of a trigger. They have to add racist onto it to make people be like, oh, wait a minute. We've been conditioned to like really react to that. If you disagree with someone merely anymore, it's racism.
Good God.
I don't like anchovies on pizza. Racist! So they said that they're trying to say that, oh gosh, that you are a genital fetishist if you only want to have relationships with people who Gainstein. That's the thing, though. That you are a genital fetishist if you only want to have relationships with people, if you are straight, with people of the opposite sex, or if you are a lesbian with women, etc. These are the people that are trying to like redo their bits and pieces, right? So who's the fetishist? This is absolute sexism. It's anti-woman hysteria. It is anti-woman abuse. It is the patriarchy in action. It is absolute abusive, barbaric sexism. Completely. Wow. Now you see why there's always been this big bust up with trans activists and lesbians, and this is why. Good heavens. I'm just sexual racist. Oh my gosh. Or maybe it's because they just don't. Oh my gosh. One of the other arguments I've seen is from trans activists is that if you are straight and you won't, if you're a straight dude and you won't enter into a relationship with this dude who now says he's a woman, then you're a bigot. He says he's a woman. What's the problem? I thought no meant no. Do you see this? This is crazy. So like you're not allowed to have a choice because they're going to abuse you into submission, which is sexual abuse, a form of sexual abuse as well. This is awful.
I'm not a bigot, I'm just choosy.
It's the same reason why like there's certain, you know, like who's going to be out there and go, yeah, I like ugly people. Choosing. I'm just using it. There's the attributes that people have. Also, if you're a dude and you're a straight dude, you're going to like chicks. Same thing with your, I can't believe that this has to be discussed.
Choosy men choose chicks.
I like that. Choosy men choose, that's Kane's new website.
Biology.
For dudes. Choosy men choose chicks. There you go. I'm just not going to be lectured by a male trying to sexistly and abusively do a patriarchal gaslight on me. I don't do that. By the way, you want to know why feminists came to be? Because of dudes like that. Abusive dudes like that. That's how feminists came into being. A couple of other things here. Man. I even have more wokery. That's like one thing. Speaking of the trans stuff, did you hear the story? And I've actually spoken to some of the people who've been bringing attention to this. This has to do with male inmates who are being housed with females because they say that they are, that they identify as women. I know. So this has to do with the Washington Corrections Center for Women. And they previously allowed male prisoners to request transfers to the exclusive women's prison if they said they were transgendered. So they had 6 recent case transfers, defendants who were convicted of sex crimes against female victims who decided that they would not identify as female. And so they were transferred to the female's prison. And shocker, guess what? Women are getting raped at the women's only prison. They said that convicted male felons who now identify as women are being transferred to the Washington Correction Center for Women, formerly the only women-only prison in the state, and in some cases sexually exploited the female inmates residing there. Prisoner Donna Perry, formerly known as Doug Perry. Doug was convicted of killing 3 sex workers, 3 prostitutes. Before being charged, he reportedly traveled to Thailand and then he got gender reassignment surgery. So prosecutors argued in court that he had the procedures done to avoid suspicion for the murders he committed. Another inmate, formerly known as Hobby Bingham, who changed his name to Princess Zoe Marie Andromeda Love, sounds sane, was sentenced to jail time after he was found guilty of molesting a 12-year-old girl. He claimed to be a woman. And so Princess Zoe Marie Andromeda Love, who was convicted of molesting a 12-year-old girl, raping her, successfully secured a transfer to the women's prison. Now, after Hobby Bingham, known as Princess Zoe Marie Andromeda Love, was convicted of raping a 12-year-old girl, he was transferred to the Washington Correction Center for Women. And guess what? He started molesting a female prisoner who was said to have the mental development of a young child. I know. So now we have cases of rape and all kinds of stuff. Women are scared. This is happening in California too. But who cares about the women? It doesn't matter if the women are uncomfortable. They're told to shut up. If the men are uncomfortable, they must immediately be accommodated. But if the women are uncomfortable, they're told to shut up. Get back in the kitchen. This is absolute patriarchy as promoted by the Democrat Party.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, a Starbucks employee tested positive for hepatitis A, triggering a mass vaccination effort. Exposure is probably in the thousands, according to a New Jersey Starbucks. This employee tested positive. This was today for hepatitis A is when they decided to announce it. The Washington Post says thousands of customers were potentially exposed to Hep A when the New Jersey Starbucks employee went to work in the first half of November while infectious. They said that it was a very busy location. It was in Camden County. They said 800 doses of the... See, this is what I'm wondering. Like, if you're going to mandate a vaccine or ask if someone's vaccinated, I'm going to ask you about stuff like this. Oh, Kane! Say it. Say what you put into Slack.
We're limited in time.
You're such a chicken.
Limited.
You are a chicken.
Not enough time.
You guys want to know what Kane says in Slack. I'm telling you. He does this all the time, and then he like runs away from actually having to talk about
some
it.
Some things are appropriate for the air, mm-hmm. and some aren't.
You shouldn't put it in Slack then.
No, that's appropriate.
Third consecutive day after Lululemon and Louis Vuitton was hit, Macy's is now hit as well. 40 to 50 teenage looters. Oh, you can't call them looters. Wielded hammers, smashing glasses at a Hayward jewelry store. They ran off with a ton of goods. This is just keeps happening over and over and over again. The governor assures you that he's on it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, sure, okay. So, this Dutch prime minister lashes out at idiots after a third night of violence. Yeah, look at this. So this comes from News 24. The Dutch prime minister, more than 100 people were arrested during three nights of violence when Dutch rioters rampaged through cities in the Netherlands. They were mad about the government's plans to ban unvaccinated people from public places. The Dutch prime minister said the violent protesters were idiots. I think the Dutch prime minister is the king of idiots. How about that? He's the idiot king. Just, no. I'm telling you, you force people into doing things that are against their bodily autonomy, and you're going to have some serious situations here. And U.S. intel shows Russia plans for a potential Ukraine invasion. Oh, but all things are going well. Maybe our generals can go out and scream my truth at them in white rage. That'll do the job. Yeah. Our friend Nick Searcy joins us next.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
DanaLash.com. We're on Thanksgiving Eve. Trying to get all of that correct. Yeah, two Eves away from Thanksgiving. It's good to be with you this Tuesday. There's a lot of stuff happening around Thanksgiving, including a film that's going to be coming out that you need to look at and watch. And a friend, not just because a friend of mine's doing it. It's called Capital Punishment. And it revolves around January 6th and what actually happened and didn't happen. And my friend Nick Searcy, who is involved in this, you know, the Peabody Award-winning Nick Searcy. He's been in everything from The Shape of Water to Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing. I mean, he's been in everything. And he joins us now. And I already am jealous of his shirt because even though I can only see part of it, I know what the rest of it says. So I'm going to get over that envy. But his movie, Capital Punishment, premieres Thanksgiving Day. It's good to see you, my friend.
You too, Dana. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. There was something you said that really struck me. You were doing an interview about this film. You were talking to another outlet about this film, and you had said that you were there on January 6th. You were as a tourist. You were taking footage with your cell phone, and you didn't really know what was going on until you got home and watched the footage. This actually corroborates exactly what another friend of mine said who was there. He works for like a freelance videographer, was just contracted out to do film work, and was just looking at people who were going to food trucks because they were there for a rally, and then he was just getting footage of them going to a food truck, and he didn't know what was happening until his wife started blowing up his phone. And then he answers his phone, and she's like, oh my gosh, don't you see? I hope you're not in the middle of whatever's happening. And of course, she happened to be at an airport. CNN was on. You know how CNN blows everything up. He didn't even know what was happening, which really, I think, gives a very, what we've been seeing on our television screens and the reporting about this, Nick, is very different from what actually happened. And that's what this film discusses. Tell me about that, because you were there, you were just taking cell phone footage. It's a big complex. People didn't really know what was going on. They just were at a rally and they left and went home.
Well, I was there. There were probably 2 million people there. I mean, they didn't show any of that. They never showed the size of the crowd. And when I was walking around, it was people praying, people singing the Star Spangled Banner, people saying the Pledge of Allegiance. and people like singing along to "We're Not Going to Take It," you know, and it's like it looked like a tailgate party. And on top of that, most of the people I saw were my age or older. So, you know, we were armed with like Polygrip and blood pressure medicine. You know, it's like that's not the way to run a decent insurrection. So when I get home and I see, you know, the only thing that the media showed was what happened at the Capitol building, it made it look like there's just nothing except these violent people, which in the movie Capital Punishment, we kind of go into who exactly these people were and what time they actually breached the Capitol, which doesn't fit the media's narrative about what happened that day.
And they've made it to where I think they've tried to scare conservatives off from even having the discussion about it. Because they're normally you would think that something like this, especially, I mean, this is, you know, when I think of conservatives, I think, aren't you? I mean, this is the Tea Party stuff. I mean, I remember I was out in the streets in 2008. I was out. Yeah. I was out in the street. I mean, good heavens, we were doing protesting and crashing protests and going all over God's green earth. And how all of a sudden did we go from being, you know, these Tea Party radicals, so to speak, to now we don't even want to discuss what our government may or may not have been involved in and to the extent they were involved in it on January 6th. That is shocking to me. I feel like it's a devolving of conservatism in a way.
It absolutely is. That we have, revealed that there are some people that supposedly are on our side that are afraid to talk about this. And that is part of what the government's doing. You'll see in the film the intimidation tactics that they're using against private citizens, and in most cases, turning communities against them so that it's not just the fact that the FBI broke down their door at 6 a.m. and handcuffed their 13-year-old daughter. It's that they have demonized these people so that their own communities are ruining their businesses, are turning them into pariahs, this kind of fear, I think, is infecting even a lot of, you know, conservatives, so-called conservatives on our side.
I agree. We're talking with our friend Nick Searcy, whose film Capital Punishment, Everything They Told You Is a Lie About January 6th, capitalpunishmentthemovie.com is the website. It premieres on Thanksgiving Day. What gets me, Nick, is that I can't believe that people think that this is beyond the realm of belief. I remember back during the John Doe raids in Wisconsin. This was during the recall election with Scott Walker. You had an overzealous DA who, in the middle of the night, was actually raiding people's homes, dragging them out in the middle of the night on their lawns, dragging their kids at gunpoint out of their beds, almost shooting the family pet. The people were gagged. National Review wrote about this. I mean, it was one of the greatest abuses of justice that we had seen in our time. And I said at the time on air, I'm like, this is going to happen on a bigger scale. If you allow people to get away with this is going to continue happening. And then we see the FBI's involvement in the Gretchen Whitmer kidnap plot. So why are people so ashamed? And I get it that they're trying to do this like this. They're trying to shame people and emotionally browbeat them and abuse them from talking about this as a form of protection from the people involved. But my gosh, I mean, this has happened on much smaller scales, and it's been building up to something like this. I mean, people think this couldn't happen after what people were attempting to do, Nick, on 2016 after the election.
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming routine. It's become standard operating procedure. It's not even a big deal anymore when the FBI comes at 6 a.m., knocks down your door without a phone call, without anything. These are people that have never been arrested for anything before in their lives. They're not violent people. They're just small-time business owners, and they are doing this intentionally to send a message. I mean, you can't believe the stuff we have in this film about armored vehicles coming down little suburban streets, neighborhoods, and you know, guys with machine guns and SWAT teams taking this family out of their house, breaking down their sliding glass door, causing their dog to run away for a week. I mean, it's terrorism. They are terrorizing these people on purpose.
And you talk to these families, and I don't want to give too much away, but like, for instance, the Kinnison family, you talk to these families about everything that happened. And I mean, they actually, there is actual footage because of the door cameras that everybody has now. And I guess what's funny to me is that the FBI, I guess, didn't think that this footage was going to exist, that these people weren't going to have a door camera. Tell me about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's shocking to, like I said, this is a nice little neighborhood in a small town in California. And all of a sudden you get armored vehicles and an 80 member force coming to this guy's house, this guy's little three-bedroom, one-bath house, and treating him like he's Pablo Escobar or something. They're coming in with this ridiculous show of force, and it's done on purpose. It's done to send a message to everyone around them. This is a very bad person.
Right.
We have to be very careful with people like this. And all these guys did was go to the Capitol, wave a flag, and give some first aid to people that got hurt. Yeah.
And that's one of the things, like, Nick isn't even talking about, and Nick, you can obviously interrupt me and correct me. You're not talking about people who were all in black, very interestingly, and busting in windows, and people who were, you know, again, all in black, seen, like, encouraging people to go and do something. You're not talking about those people. I've read stories where people who simply attended and didn't even go into the Capitol building had FBI visit their house.
Everybody that we talked to in this movie that had their door broken down did not go in the Capitol. Every single one. And I'm like, I listened to these stories and I asked throughout the movie, why haven't they come after me?
Yeah.
I did the same thing they did. And if they would come after me, it would be a great ending. It would have made a great ending to the movie, but they didn't. But, you know, that makes you ask, why are they targeting these people? Why are they letting the people dressed in black who obviously did bad things? Why are they letting those people go? None of those people have been arrested. They're just targeting decent Americans who went there to protest.
Right.
And it makes me think there's a lot more behind this story than we can even tell in the movie that we made.
Right.
But I mean, there's a lot of things that are going on here that are not on the up and up.
Have they tried to shut down production of your film at all, out of curiosity?
Not yet. You know, we're releasing on Thanksgiving Day and we're hoping and praying that
the internet doesn't go down.
that release goes off well, but I'm sure that, you know, we've been suspicious all along and we've tried to protect ourselves from that being the case. But that's kind of why we released the movie on Capital Punishment, themovie.com. That's the only place you can get it for at least the first couple of weeks. And we think we've got a system that they can't shut down. And that's why we did it that way.
Folks, you can go to capitalpunishmentthemovie.com, and I really think you need to go and you really need to look at this, because I mean, you're talking to our friend Nick Searcy, you're not a conspiracy theorist. I mean, you're a very logical person. I mean, you have fun and you can be facetious, but when, you know, removing all of that, you're not a conspiracy theorist. You're not a tinfoil hat guy. You are very, very logical and reasoned. And when people that I know who are driven by logic and reason start pointing things out and saying, okay, this is weird, that's when it's like your antenna should go up. And that's when you should maybe kind of pay attention to some of the stuff. You know, I hope people see that.
Yeah, I mean, as this, you know, as we went into it, you know, I didn't really, you know what we were going to find. But when you discover that the first breach of the Capitol, the first windows were broken at 12:45 p.m. before Trump finished his speech,
mm-hmm.
the whole media narrative that Trump had incited the violence and everybody rushed over there and broke into the Capitol, it's just nonsense.
Right.
They were breaking into the Capitol before he stopped talking. Right. And then, you know, the idea that all of these people that were not, we have footage of people changing clothes in the bushes, taking off their Trump gear and putting on other gear. These people were not all there. You know, these what they say on the media is these crazed Trump supporters. No. There were definitely people that had infiltrated that crowd. That's why there was not a visible counter protest like there is at every other Tea Party rally, every Trump rally you've ever been to. There's been a visible counter protest. There was not one here because they were in the crowd.
I think I've been to protests and rallies in almost every state in the country. I think Hawaii and Alaska are the only states that I haven't been to an event in. I mean, seriously, I've organized stuff. I've done guerrilla protest. I've done all of this. And there are certain things that you look out for and certain things that, and I, you know, and I've seen some of just like some of the stuff that you've released and you've talked about. And for people who think that this is, you know, like conspiracy theorist, it's very much not. Like I said, you know, the FBI plot with Gretchen Whitmer and this kidnap plot. I mean, that was concocted and it was encouraged and it was like the lead guy recruiting people was an informant. And that all came out. I mean, that's all public information. This is not beyond the realm of possibility, especially with some of the stuff you've shared, Nick. When you put that into the equation to think that, well, why wouldn't operatives want to try to stage this kind of narrative? And that's so troubling. Last question for you. Well, actually, I can tell you got something. What did you want to add?
Well, one thing, too, is like, you know, the process that was going on in the Capitol building was that the election results were being challenged.
Right.
Ted Cruz was asking for them to be challenged. Josh Hawley was asking for them to be challenged when the break-in occurred. What was happening, what we wanted to happen? We'd come to the Capitol because we wanted the election results challenged. The break-in occurred. They shut down everything. And then when they came back, they said it's too dangerous to continue with this challenging the election. We're just going to certify it. So what I'm saying is nobody wanted the process in the Capitol building stopped. So we wouldn't have charged, you know, people on our side would not have done the break-in.
Right. And the other note with that, too, is the process that was happening was the certification of electoral votes. And in some of these states that had thrown their previous protocol for like mail-in ballot requirements, like signature matching, verification, date verification, there were some of these states that, and we know this because their Secretary of State, even if they were Democrats, were saying this publicly, where they were receiving ballots even after the election, which is very weird to me. And maybe those you don't count. And the whole point of that process was, okay, are we going to seriously certify even those votes where we can't determine that they were turned in actually by deadline or, you know, having a signature verification that was even misrepresented. Last question for you, Nick. Having done all of this and this film, by the way, we're talking to our friend Nick Searcy, CapitalPunishmentTheMovie.com. I think I'm more concerned, I think, perhaps than I've ever been about free expression and about peaceful assembly, because it really does feel that this was supposed to have a chilling effect, this narrative on people coming together and assembling. And I wanted to get your last thoughts on that.
I think what we have to face the fact is that they are trying to scare us, and we have to not be afraid. We have to stop allowing them to demonize us, to terrorize us into silence. And we have to stand up to them and say, this doesn't make sense. This is not going to work. And you're seeing it happen at school boards all across the country. You're seeing people waking up and saying, we are not going to take this. This is wrong. And we're not going to pretend it's right. And that's what has to happen. That the bullies run away when you stand up to them. And I don't mean with violence. I don't mean anything like that. I mean, just do not accept the narrative that they are forcing down your throat that does not make sense. Stand up and say, this is wrong.
Absolutely. Our friend Nick Searcy, CapitalPunishmentTheMovie.com. I've already pre-ordered. I'm going to be watching it. I hope everyone else out there does as well. Nick, always so good to see you, my friend.
Potential member of the media, Dana. I would have sent you a screener.
No, I like to support the effort. Don't you dare. I like to support the effort.
Well, that's true. It's important that movies like this do well, because that's the only way you get more of them.
Exactly. So, I am proud to support it. So thank you, Nick. Always good to see you, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Dana.
Take care.
The Dana Show.
I love this. No, I got to keep it going. Adam Sandler, this is a classic. It's Thanksgiving, the turkey song. I was in high school, I think, when this came out. High school or freshman in college, I can't remember. So good, so iconic. And turkey for you. Let's eat turkey in a big brown shoe. Turkey off the table. Oh, I love the song. Very Grable. So good. I'm wanting turkey too. Who doesn't have turkey? Somebody told me they were having ham for Thanksgiving. I'm like, what is with you? Who is you eating ham?
You mean ham in addition to turkey?
No, like ham.
That's not
good. I'm like, who is you? It's turkey. Even if you don't like it, just lick it. Just lick a piece of it. Just, you know. So today, I'm going to be off air until next Monday, taking some time for Thanksgiving. Also because I bake. So I got to get my stuff ready starting tomorrow. Oh, yes. Because it gets crazy, right? And I will not. Please do not burn your house down with the turkey fryers. Kane today in stupidity.
All right. It's President Biden. Sorry, my bad.
Brandon, it's the same thing.
He's saying the economy, that he's created lots of jobs and lots of new businesses, none of which are true.
We have seen a dramatic drop in the unemployment rate from a high of 14.8% in April of 2020 to 4.6% today.
Well, that's a lie.
Earlier this year, independent experts were predicting it would take...
It keeps going.
Folks, that does it for us today. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless. We're grateful for you, our audience.